I'm just so amazed to see how God has been moving. And God is moving. And even this morning, I was reminded of what the Lord had impressed upon my heart from Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 36. And the title of the message this morning, Five Fours. Kind of catchy, huh? Because in this passage, there are five fours, and not the number four, but F-O-R. And, you know, with that, we need to remember, you know, that these things are here for a reason. So we're going to do a little bit of flashback and a little bit of flash forward here. But I want to talk about these five fours. And the first four is the reason for the metaphor of the olive tree, which was in a previous portion of this passage, is so that all brothers, anachim, brothers. Notice there's no differentiation here. It's not so all messianics or so all Gentiles. It says for all brothers. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. If your name is inscribed in the book of life, you are a child of God, and God does not group his children into separate categories. This is for everyone. And he's saying, hey, listen up, everybody. I don't want you to be ignorant of the secret things of God. Your translation might say mystery, but really the word is mysterion in the Greek, which means the answer to the riddle. It's not something that God keeps from us. There's an answer to these things, and God reveals it to us. It's mysterion. And for those of us who are brothers and sisters in the Lord, our eyes are open to the things of Him. We see the mysteries revealed of how great and wonderful our God is. Amen? And here's the first four. The reason why the Jews, and not all the Jews, but some Jews were allowed to harden their hearts, it's twofold. The first reason is so that everyone, all the nations, could come to saving knowledge in Yeshua Jesus. That's the first reason. And the second reason is they were allowed to harden their hearts so that they would be jealous to see God moving with everybody and thus return to their first love, return to Yeshua, return to God. And in turning to God, they are saved from their sin, just like everyone else. Isn't it nice to know that we all can be saved from sin when we turn to God? Yeah. And that's the first four. The second four, it says, for God's gifts and callings never change. That's why we sing that song, Father of Lights, this morning. Because every good and perfect gift comes from our Father, right? And there is no change in God. God doesn't give you a gift and then pull it back. You know, and this is really, I know that there's a group that believe that you can lose your salvation. And the scripture says, no, once your name is inscribed in the book of life, it is there. God doesn't give you salvation and then yank it back. But Rabbi, I know some people who prayed the prayer, but they don't act like it. Well, you know what? Maybe they didn't mean it in their own hearts. I'm not going to judge that. But you can tell by their fruits if the seed stuck, right? And God doesn't yank back gifts. Isn't that nice to know? Because there's no change in God's gifts. And each one of us has been given a gift of God. If your name is inscribed in the book of life, you have a very important gift, and that's the gift of salvation, right? You have eternal life if your name is inscribed. If you confessed with your mouth that Yeshua Jesus is Adonai, is Lord, is your master, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise from the Word of God, and that is a free gift, right? Right, but there's other gifts too. There's prophecy. There's the gift of service. There's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of encouragement. There's the gift of sharing. There's the gift of helping. And these are found in Romans 12. There's some other gifts. There's a gift of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues and interpretation. We find those in 1 Corinthians 12. Baruch Hashem, right? Because God gives us gifts. He gives us the gift of salvation, and He gives these other gifts as well. And besides gifts, He gives us callings, which is the ministry that God wants me to do and the ministry that God wants you to do. What are some of our callings? Well, the first ministry that God wants us to do is to make disciples, right? And what's the first step in making a disciple? Sharing the gospel with them. And sometimes we use our words to do that. Most of the time we should be using our actions to share the gospel with people. Because if I've learned from Facebook, yes, I've learned a lesson from Facebook. A lot of people can say they can do a lot of stuff, but when push comes to shove, it's just all talk. You know? They talk. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. I remember a friend of mine was a gunsmith. And he's an enthusiast, and he has a nice arsenal. And it's not you, brother. But he moved to this new community. And people found out, of course, that he's a gunsmith, and that's what he does. And so this kid's just like, oh yeah, I've shot this rifle, and I've shot that rifle, and I've shot this, that, and the other. Oh, really? Where'd you do that at? On my Xbox. You didn't do it. You just pushed a button. Then he said, there's this other kid that says, yeah, I shoot. Really? Yeah, let's go out sometime. And he went out and he set this target like 300 yards away. He goes, and my friend's like, oh, are you sure that's not too far? Oh, no. I shoot. And sure enough, he lined up his shot and bow, he nailed it. And my friend's like, wow, where'd you learn to shoot like this? Well, my dad is a forest ranger and I've been competitive shooting for the past 8 years. He didn't talk about blah, 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 blah. He went out and did it. And that, you know, a little side note, our ministry shouldn't be to talk about the lost. We should be talking to the lost. Not saying, hey, well, I was in this great blah, 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 blah. No, let's not talk about it. Let's see what's happening and see what God is doing and choose to show up to be a part of His ministry. And the first part of His ministry is getting people into the kingdom, making disciples. Then the next thing is to be part of their mikvah. You know, baptism, full immersion, what's that about? Well, that's the first step in obedience, right? It symbolizes a couple of things. We've been crucified with the Messiah. It is no longer us who lives, but the Messiah who lives in us. It symbolizes death and being raised up. It symbolizes going down dirty and coming up clean, right? And you know, and there's mikvahs even that go beyond repentance and salvation. Look at the priest. What were some of their mikvahs? Hey, I might have been in contact with something that was defiled or dead. I need to be clean first before I can approach God. That's a great reminder. We got to make sure we're clean first before we're approaching God. And you know, and we might be in an area that's contaminated of no fault of our own. Why? Well, many of us go to public places, right? If you walk into a shopping store, you know, shopping center, don't you think people have left unclean spirits there? That's not saying, well, the shopping center is evil because there's unclean things here. No, this is a reminder of us that we need to wash off this stuff. Kick the dust off our feet. Because we don't want to drag those spirits with us when we go do ministry for the Lord. Amen? It's important that we remember that. What are some other callings? Teaching Torah. We're supposed to be teaching the Word of God. And of course, the best way we lead is by example, right? What's that old adage? Do as I say, not as I do. Uh-uh. Do as I do, and I'll show you in Scripture where it says to do that. Amen? Yeah. There's some other ministries. Ministry of the Word. Yeah. We're supposed to be ministering the Word of God according to Acts 20:24. Or how about the ministry of justification? It's just as if I've never done it, right? We are justified by what? Faith. Faith in what? Yeshua, in Jesus. That's how we are justified. Ministry of reconciliation. And the Scripture says specifically in 2 Corinthians 5 that everyone is supposed to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. Because really, we're justified by faith so we can have what? Peace. with our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with Yeshua HaMashiach. That's a ministry of reconciliation, making sure that our brothers are, that our fellow man is reconciled with God. And then we need to make sure we get reconciled with each other, right? That's why the scripture talks about if somebody has an offense, before the offering is collected, leave your gift, make sure you got things right with your brother and sister before you make your offering to God. Or if somebody offends you, what does the scripture say? If a brother offends you, put an article in the newspaper about it, send an email, put it on Facebook, send out a text. No, you guys are shaking your heads. No, go to them how? In private. And if they receive, hey, you've won a brother. Very important. And then if things don't get resolved, take somebody else you might know about the situation. Maybe an elder, a spiritual advisor, somebody who you're accountable to, saying, hey, am I off base here? And they'll tell you the truth, right? And then you go back and try to get it worked out. And then after you try to get it worked out, if the brother still wants to say, then you bring it to the leadership. And then if the leadership, if they can't be resolved, then the person is saying, hey, you know what? You shouldn't come around until you can get this thing resolved. Because God wants us to have what type of heart? A heart of forgiveness, right? And that's part of the ministry of reconciliation. Then there's the ministry to the saints. I see some ministry to the saints on that back table back there. Yeah, there's some good food back there that we're going to, that the saints are going to partake of as we're ministered to later on this afternoon. Amen? That's good stuff right there. Some other ministry. There's those who are called to be evangelists, who are good at publicly speaking the gospel. There's all sorts of callings out there. And God wants us to use these things. But here's the warning. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, in the last half of this verse says, much will be required from everyone to whom much has been given, but even more will be demanded from the one to whom much has been entrusted. If God has given you a gift, you better be using it. If God has given you many gifts, you better be using your many gifts. Right? Yeah. God didn't give us all these gifts for us to sit on the sidelines. God gave us all these gifts so we can be out getting other people into the kingdom of God. So He can be doing what? Giving more gifts. Because God loves to give, doesn't He? Yeah, He does. And you know what? God doesn't give you something and then yank it back. His spiritual gifts and callings are there for you to use and to be a blessing towards God, be a blessing to your family, and to be a blessing to others. And notice the importance there, the priority there. God gives us these gifts so we can be a blessing to Him first. God has given us gifts and talents so that we can be a blessing to our family. And then God has given us gifts that we can be a blessing to others. And that should be our priority with the blessings. We give to God, we give to family, then we give to others. And guess what? God has so much to give that if you're willing to use it for all three, He will give it to you to use for all three. Amen? So the next four that we talk about here, the third four, just as you disobeyed in the past, but now you have received His mercy. And it says, because of their disobedience, in order they too have disobeyed in the present, so that they may receive mercy because of the mercy shown to you. It's interesting. This morning, I had a lesson in mercy. I was like, oh, okay, I got to get here. I got to get to synagogue. And I wasn't feeling good. I'll be honest with you, yesterday, I was completely laid out flat on my back. I was in so much pain. And for those of you who know me, I usually don't like to take medicine. Unless I really, 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 really have to. And yesterday, the doctor gave me a prescription and I'm like, oh, I'm not taking it unless I really, 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 really have to. So I took the first medicine. Oh, didn't help. Took the second medicine that goes along with the first medicine. Still didn't help. I took the third medicine. Still didn't help. Laid on an ice pack, laid in bed all day. I was just hurting. This morning, I woke up. Oh, I was just hurting. And I said, Baruch Hashem, because He is going to strengthen me. And I know that He's going to strengthen me. So, and I was praying, Lord, there's going to be a miracle today. Maybe bring somebody with the gift of healing. I don't know, Lord. but I know that I need to be there. And my wife wasn't feeling good, said, hey, could you at least take Dorona with you? Okay, I can do that. And for those of you who know Dorona, she really likes to talk and she's a great distraction. So she was just talking this morning. We got in the car and she just kept talking. Okay, you got your seatbelt on? Okay, well, let's go. And my eyes were still kind of at half mast because my cup of coffee hadn't kicked in yet. And I roll out the driveway, and as I'm rolling out, I see a lady jogger. And she was just 2 feet from my car. I'm like, oh, Brooke, somebody, I'm sorry about that. And she's like, oh, it's okay. She really demonstrated mercy to me this morning. Hey, yeah, it happens. It is okay. And God gives us mercy, doesn't He? We've all been disobedient to the things of God. We've all done it. But He is merciful to us. Yeah, that Hebrew word is rachum. Rachum, mercy. Rachum. Not grace, which is chesed. Rachum, mercy. And many times in our translations, I got to say that these words are intertwined with each other, but they have different meanings. And many people like to quote things about mercy, but really it's about grace. The end of Psalm 23, it says, surely goodness and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. Not mercy, grace. Getting what I don't deserve is going to follow me. You know, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love grace, from Micah 6:8, and to walk humbly with your God. But isn't there mercy? Yeah. God shows grace, we find in the Ten Commandments, and He also gives mercy. Grace is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life, and that's a free gift of God that we get by grace, right? But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Hey, I cut that person off. They totally had every right to be yelling and screaming at me, going, pay attention, you could have killed me here. But they said, you know, it's okay. It's okay. They demonstrated mercy this morning. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to demonstrate mercy. His mercy. Forgiveness. And that's part of what Cleansing Stream is about. When we allow those offenses to mount up and to be angry at our brothers and sisters and family members and situations and all that stuff, and sometimes we get angry at God, we're keeping those offenses. We're harboring those offenses, right? But when we show mercy, hey, you know what? We've all blown it. No worries. I forgive you. And God forgives you too. You just need to ask Him. You just need to ask Him. And so the lesson here is that even though that we have rebelled against God, once we turn to Him and seek forgiveness, He gives us mercy. And this applies to everyone. This is not just for a select group, not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles. God's mercy is for everyone who asks Him to forgive them. And we need to remember that. And of course, our job as believers is not to get back at people. In fact, a story that, you know, Pastor Dave and I have been kind of trying to help resolve a situation that's been going on here for a couple of months. And our hearts were really saddened because both players claimed to be believers, but one side was speaking and saying, hey, I got to get back at this guy. That's why I'm going to screw him out of some money. And that's not a Christian attitude. That's not an attitude that believers in Yeshua has. And you know, they boast and claim, hey, you know what? I'm a believer. Well, if you're a believer, why don't you believe in the promises of the Word of God? Because Romans tells us in chapter 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will pay them back, declares Hashem. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. For if he is thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you will pile burning coals on his head. So what the proper response would have been, hey, you know what? I got this deal for you. Here's the money. And guess what? I got you a number 3 combo at the fast food place. Right? Here, we had some extra food. I want to be a blessing to you. Because really, in the kingdom of God, think about it. Doesn't every good and perfect gift come from God, right? Who supplies our needs according to His riches and glory? God provides our needs, right? We don't need to be stealing from each other. We don't need to be ripping each other off. God is going to take care of us. And guess what? If we get, I can use the term, screwed over in a deal, doesn't God still provide for us? Amen? Yeah. Isn't it hard though sometimes? I don't know. I'm going to confess to you right now. I have had problems where people have screwed me over and I harbored those offenses and I had to get rid of them. I wanted to get back. I plotted revenge. But guess what? As a believer, I have to say, you know what? I'm a servant of the Lord. And a servant of the Lord has two things: nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Because really, if they're ripping you off, if you're God's servant, who are they ripping off? God. Right? And for those of you who know some of my personal things that have happened in my life, and I can share story after people as I was serving God and they decided they were going to stick it to me or do something unjustly to me, where God has taken them out of the equation, even killing some people. That's pretty heavy stuff. And I stopped to think, you know, in this one situation where, you know, there's a self-proclaimed office manager who was up there saying, hey, I'm going to put defiled things on your desk because you're a Jew. I'm going to make you touch pork. I'm like, oh, I don't do that. But you know what? They were making a big deal about it. And guess what? We're not allowed to do that in this country, right? That's discrimination. But guess who got fired because of it? Me. I got fired because the self-proclaimed office manager was telling everybody and me that she was going to make me take a Christmas ham. And I got fired and I talked to the boss and I said, this is wrong. This is discrimination. He looked at me and says, well, you know, women always win in court, so you're gone. And less than 2 months later, he was in the hospital, and a couple weeks after that, he was dead. And I'm like, oh God, that's pretty serious. And he goes, well, think about it, Jim. I showed him mercy by cutting short the number of his days because this man refused. And I told him, he goes, you know, I remember one time we were coming back and we had this court case that we had to deal with, and I did all this research for him, and we were coming back, and he goes, I wish I knew the answer to everything. And I says, I know the answer to everything. Really, you do? Yep. It's Yeshua. It's Jesus. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, it's the truth. He is the answer to everything. And so I know that he heard the good news. And God says, you're done, because I'm not going to allow you to sin anymore, because if you continue to sin and sin and sin, your torment in hell is going to be worse and worse and worse. And so because of God's mercy, you've heard of the term mercy killing? Yeah, it happens. So we're not supposed to take revenge. We just say, okay, I'm going to, what's that, what do they say in 12-step programs? Let go and let God. Let's let go and let God. Now the fourth four. For God has locked all people in their prison of their own disobedience so that He may have mercy on them all. And then it continues with how rich and how deep are God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge. God has mercy. He also has riches for us, right? And the fourth four is God uses His mercy when His children rebel and then seek forgiveness. God puts His mercy upon us. And the spirit of guilt, and listen here, because I know that many of us have struggled with this. I've struggled with this, and I've heard some of you tell me about this. You've struggled with guilt. You know, I should have done this, or I could have done that, or, you know, I made a mistake here, and this, that, or the other. And guess what? God says that He has mercy and that the spirit of guilt has no power over His children. Yeah, you got a guilty conscience, but you ask God to forgive you of something? Now, let me say something about guilt right here. There's a difference between guilt and conviction. If you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, or not doing something that you are supposed to be doing, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, I need you to do this. Come on, do this. Or, hey, I need you to quit doing it. Quit doing it. And you say no, you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, that's not guilt, that's conviction. But if the Holy Spirit has convicted you of something, and you have sought God's appropriate forgiveness and said, hey, you know what? God, I've blown it. And you follow God's prescription. We confess our sins. He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you've turned. You said, hey, I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. I repent of that stuff. I've rebuked those spirits. But yet there's still guilt that's following you around. Said, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. Guess what? That spirit of guilt is not from God. And you have authority as a child of God to say to that spirit, the Lord rebuke you, and you can command that spirit to go away. Right? And you know, me personally, I don't just tell those spirits to go away, because God's word says, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I take advantage of that and I bind those spirits and say, not only just go away, but go to the pit and wait for judgment. Because I don't want those spirits bothering anybody else. Because we see that spirits like to hop onto different things, right? Remember that when the Lord was there at the Sea of Galilee, and there was that possessed guy running around, and the spirits, you know, came out and they said, "Well, we are many, we're a legion. Don't cast us to the pit. Permit us to go in those swine over there." Okay, you can go in those unclean animals, and boom, they moved across. And then what happened to those swine? They ran into the Sea of Galilee, right, and drowned. Yeah, that's. We know, we now know what God thinks about bacon, right? But yeah, get the unclean stuff out. And once you've been forgiven of that unclean stuff, guess what? It has no authority over you unless you allow it to have authority and power over you. And the fifth thing, for all things are from Him, by Him, and for Him. Glory belongs to Him forever. And that's the fifth four. We are to give glory to God for everything. For everything. And James 1:17, every generous act of giving and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father who made the heavenly lights, in whom there is no inconsistency or shifting shadow. We need to give glory to God who is consistent and gives out perfect gifts. His gift of salvation is perfect, right? And remember, that's where we have to start at. Have you received His gift of salvation? And you know, I could say, hey, you know what? I've got a gift for you, Rabbi. See how he's like, oh yeah, I want that. But did you see? Oh yeah, there is a motorcycle key on that. I better hide that. His mom will be mad at me. Here, I've got a gift for you, Rabbi. See how he has to come up and take it? That's what God's gift of salvation. First of all, you have to accept God's gift of salvation. Yeah. You have to reach out. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Then you will be saved. And then 2 Corinthians 5:15 gives us a little bit more about this believing. It says, that He died for us so that those of us who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for the One who died and rose again on our behalf. Basically, it's saying, hey, it's more than just saying a prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Woo, Yeshua, come in. Okay, I'm saved. No, it says, hey, God wants you to get rid of that junk in your life. Receive the gift of eternal life by getting rid of the junk. Receive the gift of eternal life by saying, hey, you know what? You're a holy and perfect God. I confess this stuff to you. Forgive me of these things, right? And that's why Yeshua knocks at our heart's door and says, I want to come in. And then He starts to give us these gifts. And gives us these gifts. So I have three questions as we close with this portion of the service. But the three questions, the first one is, who are you living for? If you're held by bondage, if you're guilty, you know, held by guilt, if you're living in sin, if you're serving a God that is not the true and living God, who are you living for? Because we all serve somebody. I remember that old Bob Dylan song from the 80s.
you gotta serve somebody, right? When you say, it might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody.
Yeah, you know, sorry, that's not a very good Dylan impersonation there. But it's true. We have to serve somebody. And if we're not serving God, we're serving somebody else. Right? So, who are you living for? That's my first question. My next question is, what did God gift you for? And this is not a, well, that gift's better than this gift or that. You know what? God's word says that all parts of the body are important. You know, the eye shouldn't say to the foot, I'm better than you because I can see. Well, guess what? Because without the foot, the eye can't get very many places, can it? Or the ear is better, or, you know, thumbs. Thumbs are important. We can't grab things without thumbs, right? So we need to use our gifts to serve God and to serve others. And my question is, who is your ministry for? Who is your ministry for? Some of you might be gifted in the gift of evangelism. And that's not just sharing one-on-one your faith, because we're all charged with doing that. That is getting up in front of, you know, a bunch of people and sharing the gospel. And there are some that are gifted in that. I mean, all of us have heard of Billy Graham, right? Yeah. And I tell you, share with you a story of Billy Graham in closing. There was a time, and I think he was in South Korea, if I remember correctly. And it was during monsoon season. And the rains were just pouring down. And he had been gifted, of course, to give all these examples and defend the faith, right? And he sees the torrential rains. And he's like all praying, Lord, what do I say? And then the Holy Spirit filled him, and he got up on stage. And his message was this: we all know why you're here. Come down and receive the gift of eternal life. That was his message. And thousands of people came forward to give their life to the Messiah. So with that, I know why each and every one of you are here. It's to, you know, commit to using your gifts for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And any excuse that's going through your mind right now, I say to that spirit, the Lord rebuke you. Because God has given you these gifts for a reason, right? And even the depths of hell cannot take them away. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes.